Yes, indeed, God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Well, thank you for joining us again on the online Inner Garden Online Chapel. We've had 3 weeks now and a really wonderful time meeting with everybody out there. And Dawn was telling us that we had a number of people tuning in to talk to us. I'd like you to join us with the opening prayer, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, Creator of the universe and all that is in it, we thank you for this wonderful day and the opportunity to join with each other in a communion of spirit. Let us remember those who are less fortunate, that we may help feed them in body, mind, and spirit. give shelter to those who are in need of shelter, and be compassionate towards those who are experiencing challenging situations in their life of any kind. We ask you to enter in the heart of each and every one of us listening today so that she or he may feel the Spirit moving inside and become part of the earth angels that is sent here by you, God, to help those in need. Please help us to remember that we all come from the same source. We are all part of a greater family, a family whether concerning our earthly family or our spiritual family, helping us to live together, accepting the differences that we each have, and celebrating the uniquenesses that God has created in each of us. Help us to acknowledge, validate, and appreciate the gifts of each member of the family. And most of all, help me to express to the highest and the best those gifts that you have given me so that I may honor you by being the best that I can be. Amen. This week's guest is the dynamic singing artist, Cheryl Catherine Smith, and her husband, partner, Kevin Swain, who also produces and arranges their music. They're known in Vancouver and the area of Canada as a dual partnership called Off the Hook, and their dream now is to venture out into a new direction with Cheryl presenting as a solo artist and Kevin becoming even more involved in producing and arranging that end of the business. And for those people that listened to the song at the beginning, God Has a Dream for Me, this is the young couple that recorded it for me. And I'm so appreciative of having you here today, Cheryl and Kevin. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Oh, that's wonderful. Just before we go on to talk to Cheryl and Kevin, I'd like to let everybody know that we have a little difference in our church than most churches, and that is that we have a little mediumship segment at the end of most of our services in the spiritualist churches. But we don't have the advantage of seeing the audience out there, so we'd like you to phone in at the end of the service, the last 20 minutes, and I will repeat the numbers now and then repeat them again at the start of your 20-minute segment. For the United States, call 1-877-876-5227. In Canada, call 1-888-877-5227. 810-8322. The direct international line is 530-876-3222. And we'd also like to say a big hi to Astral Connections. That's part of our online congregation, and every Sunday they meet together, both the owners and the staff, and they have a few customers join in, and they become part of our Inner Garden Online Chapel. So we'd like to say hi to you guys. Anybody that lives in around the Delta of BC area, they want to drop in and see them at 8330 112th in Delta, BC, or go to www.astroconnections.com. And they have all kinds of wonderful things there, an internet cafe, spiritual readers. They have minerals and crystals and awareness classes, just about everything that you'd want to have. So now back to our guests. Cheryl and Kevin, maybe you can tell a little bit about your journey, maybe first independently, each of your journeys, and then how you met and how you got together, and just go from there.
Well, I'll start. And I started singing as a young person. I was always very much in love with music and creativity and art, and very connected to my creative side. And I started writing songs when I 11 and 12. I remember recording songs on a cassette recorder, and I was inspired. Most of my songs sounded very Disney-like. I think I was inspired by Walt Disney World. We watch it every Sunday. But that's what started just my desire to write songs. I always envisioned being a performer. I had even, you know, at that age, I would see myself on stage, and I would see myself performing, and I didn't follow the dream. I started as a teenager. I got involved in actually Christian rock bands and was involved with a church that's, you know, quite large in Vancouver and very musical, and did some ministry actually with that. And but I, in my 20s, life kind of took over, and I put the dream down in terms of my singing in favor of being a mother and a wife and the things that I thought I should do and should be, and the shoulds kind of got in the way.
Yeah.
And then I reconnected after quite a journey, and that's a whole other thing, but as a journey of living and of exploring and being in dark places, coming back right around full circle in about seven, probably about 8 years ago, basically putting it out there that I'm a singer. I hadn't sang in a while, and a producer heard me, and he said, well, why don't you do some backup vocals? And I did some backup vocals for some Canadian acts and worked with Sherelle Jardine and Vince Roy, who's a country artist, and did some backup vocals and worked with Deep Song Productions. And I had a girlfriend who's an extraordinary singer. Her name is Laura Bacon. And I'd like to say a prayer for her and send all my love to her right now. She's having her own struggles, and she's an amazing woman. And she had invited me out to see her sing with her new duo partner. And this was 6 years ago, November. And, I mean, it's interesting. I really didn't want to go, but I felt I had made a commitment, and I was actually trying to get out of it. And that's not what Spirit wanted me to do. Spirit wanted me to go there, and I ended up there. And her new duo partner was Kevin Swain. And that was the first time I ever saw Kevin.
Isn't that amazing, though, when you think about how frail life is, because you really didn't want to go,
mm-hmm.
but you went because it was in the, you know, kind of gave my word.
That's right.
And just that frailty that if you had not have gone, we wouldn't have Kevin sitting here
That's
today.
Right.
So how about you, Kevin? How did you get up to that point where you two met?
When I was about 14, I decided I was done with being a teenager, and I wanted to pick what I was going to do for the rest of my life and get on with it. So I decided to be a musician before I could play, and I was going to do it. And I played for 6 months, and I hustled myself into the stage band at our school, and we went to Toronto and won the whole Canadian Stage Band Festival. So 6 months in, we opened for Mo Kaufman. I think it was the O'Keefe Center in Toronto on CBC TV. So right off the bat, things were happening. And then within 2 years, I joined Barney Bentall when I was, you know, underage, 16, 17. I joined Idolize after that. Both those bands, I quit. I was jumping all over the place, but they both won Junos in the end, so I kind of regretted that. I wrote a song with Idolize. It was their second biggest single in 87. Another thing at 14 actually is really interesting. I just started playing, and I could play as a technician, but I was walking down the street, and this guy called me into his house, and he was from Sacramento, and he was a white guy that was so funky, like the real black kind of feel, and he introduced me to all the soul music and stuff. He also introduced me to Buddhism, took me into SGI Buddhism, so I got this spiritual, soulful dimension to music from this fella. And I met the drummer from Herbie Hancock through him, who's also a SGI Buddhist. Tina Turner is Ron Carter, the jazz bass player. So that was a big part of it. And then I think I was struggling with not being... This is a very common theme with people that become successful in music. They were not accepted in high school.
Exactly.
And you're trying to get everybody to love you. But it also added to the fact that I couldn't seem to commit to anybody or anything, and I would jump from band to band, and it cost me, but it also gave me a real variety of experience, and it helped me as a player. So then I guess we just, I did some stuff with guys, like played with Jim Burns one day, I played with Doucette a little bit, really great players. And just got, you know, kind of good at what I do, I guess. And then coming all the way up to, it was kind of a blur after that. Tons of bands, tons of stuff going on. I don't know, really know what to mention. But I wrote songs the whole time and tried to get somewhere. And I remember that night, too, where playing with this Laura Bacon, who is quite incredible, talking to my friend and just having this, just turned around and basically saw Cheryl. It looked like someone that was a light bulb that was actually plugged in and emitting light, which is not something I really thought about. It wasn't
kind of like her aura was just growing.
I just kind of saw this light, and it was this really special day because I'd had hair, really long hair, for my whole life, really. And that day, I'd been going through all this stuff, and I cut off all my hair, and felt fantastic about it. And I was probably at the height of my light that day, which is good because I think me with my long hair and my negativity the day before, Cheryl would have run a mile. So she kind of maybe thought I was someone I wasn't, which I became. I'm also very shy, and I just said there is no way I'm going to not talk to this girl, and I had no bad desires. It was the most healthy, sweet thing. I was not thinking anything but I want to talk to this girl. I want to be around her energy. And I invited her to listen to a song I just recorded I'd written called Let's Sleep and Dogs Lie. And again, not thinking this would sound untoward, but do you want to come to my vehicle and listen?
I'm going to see my ending.
Yeah. And listen to this song. And I meant nothing but I really want you to hear this song. I feel really good about it and I want to share it with you. And she didn't hesitate either, and I'm sure didn't have any feeling that it meant anything either. And we had this really lovely talk. It was spiritual and stuff. And at that point, too, I decided firmly that I was going to be single for the rest of my life. I had enough of all that. My plans were all made, and it didn't include
anyone. That's God's plan, though.
So this has been the best part. This has been my most successful musically and my happiest, and we're making music, and there's Cheryl and I and God, the co-producer, or maybe we're the co-producer.
Well, it's really funny because the one thing that comes out with both of you, firstly, that Cheryl really didn't plan to go, and it happened, and that you would see her lit up like an angel, and she obviously hadn't gone in with at first the intention of having such a great time anyway. Mm-hmm. So for her to be glowing like that had to have a lot of angel work going on around her. So that was one good thing. But the interesting thing that you said, too, is that you were a bit of a loner. You were not really in the in-group. And I think what we can relate with that, and that is kind of a common thread I find with mediums, whether it be artist mediums, because that is a mediumship, or whether it be people who are doing clairvoyance or doing something of what they call the New Age, which isn't New Age at all. It's in the Bible back years ago. They were able to do this. Jesus did it, and all his disciples were capable. But the fact that you said that you were a bit of a loner, when we're born, we have the ability to have these senses, but we shut them down if we get too busy with communication with people on a verbal level. And so loners have a tendency not to shut that infancy connection that we have when we're young, when we first come through here. They don't shut that intuitiveness down quite as much. And the sensitivity of the artist calls for them to have enough sensitivity that they feel things and maybe see things and observe things that other people don't see and feel. Which is interesting that you should say that, because that's a common thread that seems to be in all great artists and all great mediums of any kind. And healers, doesn't really matter, that is a mediumship. And so that's really interesting that you said that. So then you met Cheryl, and of course the two of you, it's kind of just grown from that.
It was beautiful, and then it was that kind of rough stone that needs to be polished, and we just butted heads after that. After this amazing beginning, I mean, I was doing things just to derail it, to I got scared. Mm-hmm. And we had a really rough time for till yesterday.
Almost the whole day now, Kevin, isn't it?
Years and years of roughness before yesterday. We had to get ready for this program.
Yeah,
exactly.
But now we're perfect.
And now we're perfect for the program. But, it is wonderful because it is a journey.
Yeah.
It really is a journey. And the thing is, we really need to enjoy that journey. And even what brought the two of you together at the point that you are now, all that's gone before that is part of the garden that you grew in.
Yeah.
So none of us really want to curse the garden we grow in, because that gives us the tools to be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're together, and you're making this beautiful music together, and you've got common goals. And I think this is the thing. I mean, fear, you're talking about fear. A lot of the railroading that you were doing, you know, sidetracking yourself and, kind of shooting yourself in the foot, was fear, wasn't it? I mean, to make a commitment to Cheryl, well, what if she didn't stick with you? You know, a lot of that would come out in there, or any kind of fear that would be coming in, or am I going to be good enough, or am I going to be able to stay in there?
Right. To quote Woody Allen, I wouldn't want to belong to a club that would have me as a member.
Yeah.
That basically, I would punish people for accepting me. You know, I just said it's really the stuff I have to work through. Have to work through, but it's getting better.
You know, I also want to mention something that that's come to light for us just in our, 6 years we've been together now, and just talking about where we've been in our past and in our life path. We've noticed that we have been within really close to each other for the majority of our life. I was born in Montreal, and Kevin came over from England to Montreal. And when he landed, I was in Montreal as a child. Kevin was in Montreal as a child. And then I moved to Toronto. Kevin's family moved to Toronto. And then, so again, we're within proximity. And then we come out with our families to Vancouver area. And we're actually literally in the same buildings at the same time, having no recognition of knowing each other or anything. And just that, just kind of recognizing, that in and of itself to me was a sense of we were always close. There's some kind of support that we were giving each other, even without knowing each other on a physical level.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, when you kind of honor that and you look at those things and you look at the things in your life that are synchronicities and no coincidences, and you honor them, and it's quite exciting, because you recognize in your darkest moments, and I've had dark moments, and I've had defining moments, and we've talked about this too, and one of the things I've said about Kevin is one of his defining moments was him not being accepted in school and being bullied, and because he was different. He had an English accent when he was younger, and the kids, how kids are, they can be quite ruthless.
And so,
pushing this lovely, sensitive boy into a place of feeling that he's not good enough. And then my experience was that my defining moment was that at the age of 8, my father committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of set me up in terms of, I became, there's a big blame factor in my life, a victim factor in my life. I was self-medicating as an adult because I wanted to stuff the pain as a result of that and other, things that I was causing. And so a lot of my creativity was because of pain. And, this whole sense of the tortured artist, we're so tortured. And, I have people, I love music. Kevin, he's the best in trivia. If you ever want to know anything about music, have a chat with Kevin. He was doing it last night. We're playing in Surrey, and one of the gentlemen came up after we finished the gig, and he's that, they had a trivial war. It was amazing. They both had so much knowledge, but the love of music. But just the sense of, I kind of lost my train of thought, but the point is we don't have to be tortured. I think that I'm grateful for the experiences. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for everything I went through, all the darkness, and our song, All Dark Places. It's our song. The words are, I wrote the words, Kevin and I wrote the music, and we had Yanni Fisis also become on board at the end in terms of production. But that song is about getting out of the throes of addiction, which was my thing, and getting to a place of recognition that we are divine, we can connect, it's not all about pain. We don't have to be in pain to be able to be creative,
mm-hmm.
and that there is so much joy in being creative. And it doesn't mean that you're less of an artist because you're not in despair.
Exactly.
Right?
The other thing, too, is that you look back on a lot of these things, and, of course, I've got a little bit more gray hair than you guys have got, and so I have a little bit more history back there. But a lot of the experiences that have happened to you, if we kind of took the attitude that we sat on a cloud with God and said, yeah, I think I can do this, because to be able to be who you are today may have had to have those experiences to do it.
Mm.
And so I always look back at some errors of judgment that maybe I've done or people have done to me as being something really, really important to give me a tool to be who I am today, and then to be able to carve a good future.
Yeah.
And I think for the people out there, this is really important, because whether it be music is their dream, which, I mean, you guys have got a challenge ahead of you, and you have that all the way along.
Yeah.
But they have to do like what you're doing right now, and this is the one thing, is knowing that you have to have the faith in the dream that God has given you. And this is something that we discussed before, is that here the two of you are right now taking a leap of faith outside of all kind of comfort zones that could be there.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you're pretty successful in your own rights right now, and yet you're taking a leap outside of that again.
That's right. Yeah.
And going out on a new goal, a new horizon.
Yeah.
And then not only that, being able to say, okay, we don't have a day job, so this is it. We're out there, and it either goes or it doesn't. That really takes faith.
It does. We do have part-time day jobs, but we haven't come to the full-time day job yet.
But, you know, the thing is that you would be probably, if you're going to look at the material side of it, you'd probably be, two of you working out there in material job would be making more money at the instant thing. And that's like the instant potatoes, but the long-term benefit of being able to follow your dream and have that success. And when you get to be 105 and you're in that rocking chair, you're not going to ever have to say, gee, we should have, could have, would have. What would have happened if we did? You will have had that experience, you know, whatever it is. And when you get to the point that you are sitting there looking over your life, you're not going to be regretting that you didn't take that chance that God gave you.
Yeah, I was thinking that this would be appropriate for you to respond to, just based on what we were talking about on the way over. Just about the dream, and basically what my intention would be as an artist at this point is to bring my own life experience and to say, I want to kind of pull everybody up and say, you can all do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that whatever your dream is, whether it is music, and, you know, acting or anything creative or anything, if you want to be a doctor or, you know, whatever your dream is, whatever you feel led to do. And, you know, what, just to help others to recognize that their dreams are there for a reason. And it's not to taunt them. I used to think, I wrote something out when I was in, you know, one of my moments of despair. I wrote out that my dreams are my curse. And my gifts are my curse. I mean, I actually was in that place where I thought...
You believe that?
I believed it was a curse, because I felt so trapped by my own thinking and my own, you know, trying to take care of it myself without the help of Spirit. You know, I knew Spirit was there. I always have known Spirit was there. But I basically said, I'm going to do it on my own, because I was so much into blaming, you know, all my life experiences, you know, resenting and on. I mean, all the things that didn't serve me. But I had to come to this realization that it wasn't about what I could do, it was about what I could ask for help in doing. And I can do all these things, but I totally feel supported as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the recognition of, I had to put some lifestyle things away. I had to let go of some, you know, relationships that were dark and that were destructive. My own lifestyle, my choices, how I was, you know, trying to control my moods with drugs and alcohol. And say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to let go of that. And that was quite a big deal. I mean, that's a big deal. And I'm going to find a new way, and I'm going to be open to having Spirit be a part of it and do those leaps of faith and have the dream and not have know what's ahead. And that's what faith is, right? I mean, and fear, right?
Well, the thing is, I think Kevin kind of said something back in the earlier part of the interview about not really having a tremendous self-image of himself or self-worth. And if God gives you a dream, it's never too big. And he wouldn't give you the dream if he didn't figure that you had the talent and the abilities to do it. Don't you think so, Kevin, now that you're where you are now in your thinking?
Yeah. And to clarify also, I think where we're at creatively, in the creative thing, is in music, probably in a lot of things, the safe place to go is to what we've been doing, what I've been doing for years. I go into bars, I play other people's songs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the dream. It's a related field to my dream. It's not my love, but it's similar.
It's a means to an end.
It's a means to an end. But you have to watch out, because it's also a trap. So we're not so much we're making the leap. We're in the process of making the leap right now, because we do we have one foot in reality. I mean, we own a home. We're paying a mortgage, too. So we're up there, you know, playing brown-eyed girl for people and stuff. But what the experiment is right now is to make that leap and to not be afraid with bringing in God, bringing everything we've both built up over the years with our spiritual thing, and to unleash creativity for me, as opposed to being in my head and think, here's how the scale goes, just feel like someone else is playing the guitar, just to channel.
Yeah.
And in so many ways, and production is so, there's two ways of doing it. There are people, Mutt Lange, who's married to Shania Twain, which is kind of interesting because it's similar sort of thing. You'll never see Mutt Lange, never see a picture of him. Maybe that's why they call him Mutt, I don't know. but I kind of want to be there too, hidden. But from what I understand about him, he just controls everything. And I don't want to. I want to let things happen. I want God to produce with me. And with your song, it was an amazing experience. It was similar to meeting Cheryl. It just had that same sort of dimension to it. And things just happened. I was actually on the verge of sleep. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't controlling. And no beats would fit with your song. And then this beat just fit, and I wouldn't have picked it. And I thought, wow, that's neat. And then I grabbed my old bass, I didn't even have to think about the bass line. It's not normal. It wasn't right. It wasn't just me.
No, and I find that anyway. When I speak at a lot of the churches, and I've been at churches down in Ontario and Alberta, and in British Columbia, a number of churches, and I don't generally write anything down when I get up to speak. Yes, I may have a reading or I may have a guide for a prayer or whatever, but when I'm going to go and speak, I don't write anything down. And I just start on a topic that's coming through my mind, and then the sermon basically comes out that way, and people are usually inspired by that. Same thing as people that are going to be listening into this program, whether they phone in or not isn't really as important. It's the fact is that they're getting something from you. Their dream may not be music, like Cheryl said, but whatever God puts in their heart to do, whatever it is, know that it's unique, that you are the one that's been chosen to do it, and not allow a lot of people who are on the negative side, which is something that I'd like to talk to you guys about, is that when you're given some negative input sometimes about, like, are you guys out of your mind, going out there risking yourself or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting too, because one of my influences, Kevin and I have talked about spiritual suits. Actually, Kevin came up with the concept because we've pulled a lot of things. I mean, Kevin already mentioned Buddhism. I was a born again Christian, so I've got an element of a Christ teaching, which is
and
separate.
And you're still a Christian.
I'm still, but it's beyond that.
Exactly.
It's so accepting of anything. I mean, truth. What I've found and what we've found in anything that we read or see, truth resonates. So wherever it comes from. It's truth. It's truth.
It's true.
And so, as far as this darkness, Julia Cameron wrote a book called The Artist's Way, and I had an opportunity to do it. It's a 12-week course, and they talk about for an artist is your sensor. You can call it your sensor or your demon or whatever it is. It's that voice, and it could even be a teacher from the past, or it can be your father or your mother, someone who's told you that, how dare you have that dream, or you're not good enough, or you can't do that, what makes you think you can do that? So the sensor comes in, and so what we do is we believe it or we don't, and coming to recognize that the sensor is not a part of ourselves, nor does it have to be a part of our belief system.
Exactly.
But it is there. We can acknowledge it. We can go, oh, hey, it's you, sensor. Hello.
Exactly.
but I'm not going to do that because it's about taking healthy risks and recognizing the difference between your spirit, which is your intuition, and the sensor. And as you go and you plod on and you honor your spirit more and more and your intuition, the sensor gets quieter and quieter. Mm-hmm. It never leaves. And you'll have that. I think it's almost as if we set ourselves up for that because it's like, oh yeah, you got a dream? Let's see how far you're going to go with this. Because I think
it's almost a test of Job or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think we do this, we choose to do it. I don't think it's anything like we're a victim of it. I think we choose to do it because It sets us, it reestablishes our dream and our drive and our desire to follow that which we know we need to. And one other thing I wanted to mention, in this business, I've been in the entertainment business since I was a teenager. I started out as a professional model, modeling internationally. I also was acting, and I had a radio show. I've done a lot of entertainment, you know, based things. Mm-hmm. Singing is my ultimate passion, and this is, you know, and writing. And so in the business that I've been in, it's very, very much about people have a sense of you're taking from me. It's not a very pleasant business. So there's a lot of, I call it darkness in the business itself. But what I've recognized is that in this business, and I could, you know, say for anybody out there in terms of where they're at too, there is enough for all of us. There, it doesn't mean that I take something and I take it away from you.
No.
Under grace and perfect ways for the highest good of all. So having that recognition and also honoring yourself, saying, I fit here, like you were saying.
Exactly.
I belong here. And so do you. So it's a recognition of others and their dreams and saying, how can I support you? How can I help you in your dream while I fulfill my own? So it's not so much about fear-based that someone's going to take from me if they have what I have or what I can.
Or that you share what you have so they're better
exactly,
at what they do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's basically something that I teach too. And of course, you know that a lot of times when you're in a spiritualist movement, there are a number of mediums that are out there and, you know, they get great amount of recognition. And I always tell my students, look, you are the very best at what you do. You are better than I am at what you do.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I am best at what I do, and I'm better than any other medium out there at what I do.
Yeah.
But that's because God has a unique job for me, and that if I don't have to feel threatened, I can go anywhere and go with anybody else standing beside me and feel that God's on my side for what I'm doing and that I can bless them and get
right.
and say, God,
that's
please
right.
be on their side
yeah.
for what they're doing. And I don't think I need to have jealousies or any of that type of thing. And the same thing would happen in the music field, I'm sure.
Well, one thing I would mention about jealousy, it does serve too, because pay attention to your jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're jealous of something, recognize that it's an indicator. I think of it more as something you're not doing.
Yeah.
So, if, for example, like I used to feel jealous when I saw people singing because I wasn't singing and that was my passion. So pay attention to it. It's not, you know, don't let it sort of fester and become something greater, but pay attention to it. Go, why am I jealous of that person? And you go, oh, I know, because I'm not doing it, and I'm not honoring myself because I'm not doing it.
And so basically what you're doing there is just acknowledging it's something I desire to have. I don't necessarily want to take it away from that person or envy their having it, but
exactly,
it does key me into the fact that, gee, I would like to be in that position.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and
what can I do to
and
get
as
there?
A human, I think, and we are human. We haven't quite made it to the next level yet. But as a human, I think it's human for you to have the beginnings of that, because that's something that you have as a child. You kind of learn it, I guess.
Yeah.
But to look at somebody else and think, gee, I wish I could do that, or I wish I'd have got that chance, or I wish I'd have won the lottery, or I wish, But the truth is, you have a talent. You are God's lottery within yourself. You can be everything that He wants you to be. You're never short of money. You're always short of ideas. Money, it gravitates to ideas. So if you have a dream and you really want to manifest it, you got to put time, energy, and money behind yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, money, I don't have any pockets in my spirit. And so money doesn't really mean anything, but the talent and the rest of it does.
And that's where faith can come in again.
Exactly.
Right? It's honoring your dream, recognizing it, trusting it, and stepping out, and knowing that the universe will support your dream.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I'm feeling for people out there that might be doing something. I don't want people to think, wow, they're doing music, and especially not us, people that are really famous, they're doing music, and I'm still insignificant. I've seen people in the most, you know, simple areas in life, just doing the most simple jobs, and it's beautiful how they do it. And it's important. Everything matters. It's not to, you know, I would never want someone to feel less than because I'm a musician or something. I mean, I'm a Leo, and I want to be the center of it.
That's part of it.
Yeah, but we'll be done, and the guy will come in that I mean, this one fellow comes in the one bar we play, and he cleans up. And he was an addict on Skid Row and stuff, and he's got himself together, and he's a great guy. And he comes up, and, you know, he might clean the toilets, I guess, that kind of stuff.
And he has a great story.
And he's a great guy, and what he's doing is part of the world, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think if that's where you're at, that's great, too. You should just do it whole hog. And the other thing I was thinking, too, is, you know, with the jealousy and stuff, seems like everything is bad or good depending on how you use it. I mean,
you can take negative or positive. And I mean, every negative thing that's happened in your life up to now, none of it can be changed, but it can also turn the coin over and use it as a positive learning experience or bring something positive with it and say to yourself, well, that gave me this tool to be able to be who I am. And I think that's really, really important. I'd like to talk to some of the people out there if they'd like to phone in. We're going to give the numbers again. In the USA, it's 1-877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 1-888-810-8322. 888-810-8322. And the direct international line is 530-876-3222. And we'll just keep chatting along, and if we hear a little beep from Don, and if he can't get our attention, he'll say, hey, I got somebody on the line here.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great to hear.
It would be nice. It would be nice for them to ask you, because we were talking there, I know when I did got my ordination, and I was ordained with two other ladies and two deacons were brought in at the time. And we decided that we were going to have what was called the AVA. That means I would acknowledge, validate, and appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we say, okay, let's give the AVA, and that means it might be the person who brings the cookies that week to the church, or it might be the people, like you say, that clean the toilet, or like John, which we all know, John does so much building and fixing things in the church. And you have to acknowledge that. It's not just the people who are up on that rostrum on Sunday giving the messages, although they're very important, because something they say, God has led a person there, even if it's only one person to hear that. So that's important, too. But the people who keep that church running, the people who donate towards that church, keep it going, the people who support me by giving me encouragement to keep going, they are every bit as important.
Ava's going into my spiritual soup.
That's
a great one. And I've given people the opportunity because I've cleaned toilets. And I've had people that treat me really well, and I've had people that seem to think that they're better and felt like what it feels like to be judged and to be, you know, less than someone. As a musician, actually, playing in the pubs and stuff, a lot of the people that own them and stuff just seem to think you're, you know, less than. And
it's interesting how we've gone from
the reaction you get from people.
Well, definitely. I mean, gone from playing literally on Skid Row in Vancouver on Hastings, you know, in bars that people might be afraid to go in or whatnot. But the spirit, I mean, the spirit down there is pretty
amazing.
Probably
actually better than a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make judgments. Yeah. And then we go from there, and we played the Cavern in Liverpool. We've played in Paris.
Commodore.
We've played the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver. We've played, you know. So you go from there. There is no, you have senses of where I would ultimately like to be is in a place where it's not fueled by alcohol and drugs. I mean, it's just about joy and spirit. However, I do think that we can cut through that. I mean, you know, because I know even when I was in that state that things did still get through. And it's about saying that there's hope and that you know, there's this, you can actually connect to yourself again and you can bring the dream. God has a dream for me, for every one of us. And we love your song.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. And when we recorded it, it's as Kevin said, I picked up the melody really quickly and just found my way through it. And Kevin just was able to produce it and arrange it and play on it. And it was magical. And those moments were magical. We were actually at John Lennon's house in Liverpool. We went and did the tour. And we went into the porch where John Lennon and Paul McCartney used to hang out in the porch.
Yeah.
And they would play their songs, right? Because his Aunt Mimi didn't want them playing in the house. So she'd send them. And it's a small porch. I thought it was large. But it's quite small, so we shut the door, and here's Kevin and I, and well, we started to sing,
That'll Be the Day.
And so we feel very strongly, we actually had an intuitive say this to Kevin, that he picked up some muses in that experience.
Which is what we're actively trying to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is channeling, and that comes through us, which is sometimes we can get arrogant about our talent and how great we are, and that really puts us in a kind of a clay feet position where you could come tumbling down really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't acknowledge that all comes from a higher place.
And
it doesn't really matter who it is, with that one God there, you know.
That recognition and honoring it. And I mean, I've heard great artists who I esteem, and I've heard them describe, one of them is Eric Bazillion, who wrote the song One of Us, What If God Was One of Us, mm-hmm. Just a Slob Like One of Us. And we had a chance, we met him in Los Angeles. And that song got me. I was literally under a desk at one point in my life in despair, and that song got me through that moment. I played that song over and over again, and me being able to meet the man who wrote the song, mm-hmm. it was euphoria for me, because I actually got a chance to say to this man, you know, face to face, your song made a huge difference in my life. And I'd like to see that song that you've written, God Has a Dream for Me, would make a huge difference for someone too, that they could recognize that there is a dream, that that there's hope in any despair or in any dark moment.
Yeah, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual illness, you know, and really disease means dis-ease.
Yeah.
So if you're in discomfort of any kind, the thing is that you do have to always keep that little light that tomorrow it can be better.
Yeah.
It can be better tomorrow. And just say, I'll give it one more minute or one more hour or whatever. I'm recovered agoraphobic, if you want to put it that way. I don't think agoraphobia ever leaves you. You've always got the potential to have a fear of being out in the open spaces and crowds and things like that. People find that absolutely amazing when they realize that I then went from that to do TV work and radio work and all the rest of it. And I do stage work in front of hundreds of people. But I was totally agoraphobic, could not go from my store, which was the end of our house, to the mailbox, which was just outside of the house. I could not leave that. And what actually happened there was I got into such despair that my world became smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until eventually I was in the house. I hadn't got to the one room thing yet, but I was confined to the house. And then I was afraid to be alone and also afraid to go out by myself. And this one particular day, Ozzy had gone to the wholesalers, which was 5 minutes from home. And before he got to the wholesalers, I had already called for him to come home. And I was cowering in a corner crying, and I said to myself, I'm afraid of dying and I'm not living. Now, it wasn't that quickly that I got over it. That was the catalyst to make me fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And I grabbed onto that one little slim shot of light coming through and said, you know, if I don't take the bit in my teeth and put my head to the wind and take the fear and go past it and hold on to God, because I still had this spiritual thing, but I just couldn't get over this overwhelming fear. And it was not even a fear that you could put your finger on, like if it was a fear to go someplace or fear to do something, you might be able to do it and get familiar.
Yeah.
So how I actually had to do that was get out one step at a time and just not what if myself to death, not well, what if I go out of the house and I faint and or I die out there or whatever.
That sounds like me.
Well, a lot of people do suffer a similar thing.
Yeah.
I also had claustrophobia to the point as a youngster that was actually it was induced in this lifetime, because I was 2 years old and I'd had two surgeries, so I guess the feeling of the ether was like smothering. But I had to get over that too, because one time I wouldn't go on an elevator unless somebody was in it with me. Now, I mean, I go and do all kinds of things. But for the people out there that may be going through a challenge that in some way, whether it's a fear of being alone or it's, you know, they're trying to hold their lives together, reach out to somebody, because you're never really alone out there.
No.
Listen to that song.
Yeah. And beside that, you know, if you think about it, you're never alone because there's all, or without resources, because there's always around the corner someone waiting to come into your inner circle.
Yeah.
And there's always an idea to be born. You guys have ideas constantly for music.
Yeah.
But you also have ideas of what to do with your life. You wake up with an idea in the morning.
Yes, yes.
What are we going to do with our life today and what's
yes.
going to go on? And Ozzy and I at one time had owned a store in Victoria. We were just young and always wanted to go back into the storekeeping business. And one morning, many years later, and after the up and downs of being financially up there and losing it and going, we seemed to have this thing with gambling our ideas and
yeah.
then losing everything and going back to starting over
yeah.
again. But anyway, this one time we had come back from Ontario with five children and hadn't anything to start, and we had just started getting on our feet and had our first house. And I woke up one morning and thought, I think we'll trade the house on Moody Park Store in the Westminster. And we had seen it up for sale maybe 8 months before, and Ozzy had said, oh, we should buy it. And I said, with what? He said, oh, we could trade the house. I said, don't be silly. We only have 2 months equity in the house. But anyway, 8 months later, I did, in fact, wake up with the idea we're going to go and buy that store today. We did actually go over, made the deal, traded the house,
wow.
had no experience at that time in real estate, wrote a contract that was completely... The lawyer said, who wrote this? You know, I said, I did. He said, boy, he said, that's a pretty tight contract. And I had no experience. I hadn't even gone back to school and got the education yet. So
wow.
I think to myself, oh, man, somebody was certainly helping me there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know what each thing that comes in your life will lead to.
Well, trusting it. But I again, want to just reiterate the... I think what it starts with any kind of whatever period you're in your life, if you consider it a dark period, it starts with being open
yeah.
and being willing
yeah.
and recognizing that it's not all about what we can do on our own. It's that, you know, we're having that faith and trust that we are supported by something. We may not even understand it. I have some girlfriends, very close relationships, and their concept of God, one in particular, is a rainbow. So
mm-hmm.
whatever helps her or helps any of us find our way to something that is outside of ourselves, that is supportive and loving and has absolutely nothing but love for us
mm-hmm.
and a connection. So finding that, being open and recognizing and paying attention that then things will be there. Things that probably were already there, but you were just so in your own sphere.
You don't see them.
You don't see what's there. But just being open and being willing, you can suddenly see. It's amazing. One of the things that I was always focusing on was romantic love, and I was, you know, a relationship junkie. You know, and so it was all about, oh, what, you know, how do I feel? Am I feeling euphoric? Is this romance wonderful? And, you know, who's going to be the next romance and whatever? I mean, the dating thing and all that. And one of the things I came out of was recognizing that love is love. I just was wanting love. And so it was all around me, and it wasn't meant to be romantic. It was in my friendships. It was in even meeting strangers and feeling a connection with them, and somebody who's kind to me or someone who gives me a smile, right?
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that God gives us enough, we just have to sometimes look elsewhere. We have to be open to seeing what God is giving us that is all around us
yeah.
in a different way and being open to it. So that's
yeah, I explain that in the book that I've got, Don't Stand There Sucking Your Thumb,
yeah.
As the fact that sometimes we'll look at the apple tree and that biggest apple on the top of the tree that's so shiny, and we want that apple. And, you know, we can have every kind of fruit tree all the way around us that God has given us, all this opportunity to fill ourselves with all these beautiful fruits. But we'll concentrate so hard on that apple,
yeah.
and I want that apple. I can't reach it, but I want it so badly that we will ignore all the
uh-huh.
opportunity that may be around
yeah.
us. And so when, in some cases, when the apple does get into your hand, it falls off because it's got to that point or whatever. It can either be rotten on the other side or worm through it. Who knows? And you've starved to death with all the opportunities that are around you. So sometimes it's need to do what you need to do to get to where you need to be that doesn't harm yourself or another person.
Mm-hmm.
And being willing to say, I'll put the want on hold. I know when I'm counseling, so many times I'll say to people, well, there's this, this, and this. I never tell people what they should do, but I'll say there's this, this, and this, and this. There's options there that are on your pathway. But I don't want to do that. I'm sorry, but sometimes maybe it's what you need to do until the want can get in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might want to have $1 million, but I've got to start somewhere to build that $1 million. I can't get it instantaneously and say, well, I'll take nothing less than $1 million, Cheryl. You don't give me $1 million check, I'm not going to be happy. Okay, now I might find 1 million people with a dollar each.
That's right. Some people have done that.
Exactly.
Actually. That's how they
you know, and you don't know
internet.
where that will come from. But if you're going to shut it away, shut everything away.
Well, I had a wise counselor say to me once, he said, you can pray in the closet, but God don't slip pancakes under your door.
Isn't that so true?
Isn't that true?
Exactly.
I mean, it's not only about prayer and meditation and connecting that way, but it's also about action, because that's where the step and the leap comes in, and recognizing the dream and being able to step into the dream. And not seeing things as failures, too. You know, I think it's just about the willingness to make a decision and to follow through. And don't, you know, everything, again, I really truly believe in the guidance.
Yeah.
You know, if we ask for it, we do receive it in big, huge ways, I mean, miraculous ways. And so just being able to, instead of seeing something as a failure or judging it as such, I mean, many great people have actually accoladed and said, my failures are exactly what I needed to get to here, because I wouldn't have known had I not, you know, had that experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful to be able to, you know, take a look at the options that you have in life and be able to go out there and experience them. Another thing that I find happens, too, is sometimes, you know, if you had an opportunity to write the script in your life, you'd write it a certain way. But sometimes when it goes in a different way, and it might even be the case that somebody in your life leaves not by your choice,
yeah,
one way or the other, it could be by death or by their own choice of leaving your experience, and you get so concentrated in the loss that you don't kick out your socks and, as my stepdad used to say, pull up your socks and get in the game and go back in and say, okay, it might be painful, but I need to go through that pain and go to the other side where there is a light. Because a lot of times, maybe it's not the way God would have written it either, but when it does happen, we make a choice or whatever and that happens for us, then the opportunities will come on that pathway to maybe achieve things you never could have with that other person. Now, it's not that we want that other person to be out of your life, but when that does happen, there is another option. There is always another dream. There is always, you'll find a new dream for you, which is what it says in the song, which is really beautiful. Now, we're going to do a really quick talk about the people to go to the internet and find out about you guys and about us.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Star Productions, with the S on the end of it, .ca at the moment, and you're going to have a new site.
Yeah.
And ours is www.innergarden.com. You can email us at chapel@innergarden.com, and we would love to hear from you. I know a lot of people don't like to go to the phone because they don't want to miss what you guys are saying, and they have to shut their phones off sometimes, or their radio off. The other thing, too, is that if you will contact us, either that way, go on and find out what other services we have on innergarden.com. We will not be on next Sunday. It's Christmas Eve Sunday, and we're going to take a holiday with our family and go see the church of our choice, and we'd like you to go to the church of your choice, chapel, temple, or synagogue. And we say Happy Hanukkah to those friends of ours that are going to be celebrating. And we would like you to join us now in a closing prayer that asks for healing for all of those people that are out there that are in need of healing, body, mind, and in spirit. We ask that you join us in the prayer, in a prayer chain for all the people that you know, and that we will join in all the people that we know, and then two or more are gathered in the name, and whenever more than one thought is going to God, it goes collectively and gathers power, and it has powerful prayer of healing for all of those out there. We ask that the people that are looking after the world do have good judgment and are impressed through God to make good choices for us, and that we all are blessed with the compassion and the love of each other, no matter what walk on the pathway that we are walking to our God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and again, maybe you'd like to take us off with a little bit of music or say something for us in the last minute or two that we have here. And just maybe play something for us.
Sure.
Thank you, guys, for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara, for doing this. A wonderful woman. We love you.
We love you guys too. The music's beautiful.
I need a sign to let me know you're here. All of these lands are being crossed over the atmosphere. I need to know that things are gonna recur. 'Cause I feel a drowning in the sea till summer comes. There is no safe place, and no safe place to put my head. When you can feel the world shake from the words that I said, I'm calling all angels, and
thank you. God bless, and see you on New Year's Eve morning. Have a great day, and this is Reverend Barbara Leonard, Inner Garden Online Chapel.